The title of this sermon is What Children Can Teach Us. And if you've spent much time around children, you know that they can teach us some fascinating things. They can come up with innovative explanations for all kinds of things, and they can make up stories at the drop of a hat. Well, one of our kids in the children's ministry is particularly innovative with his explanations, and I thought that you would enjoy hearing a few of those. So here's his version of Noah's Ark. People were being bad all over, and God told them, "That's it, you're in time out. I'm flooding the earth." Then Noah built an ark, that's just a big boat, you know, and put all the animals on the boat. Then God was so mad, he made it rain for 40 days and 40 nights until everyone learned their lesson. And when the rain stopped, the earth dried up and they saw a rainbow. And God promised he loved everyone and wouldn't do that again. But we still need to behave. Well, this same child also asked his mom if they had to use soap in heaven to get clean, or if they are just able to pour water over themselves. Well, when his mom told him that she didn't believe people took baths in heaven because our bodies stay down here, he said, "Well, that's good then, but I think it's not because of that. It's because it's always day and no one has to go to bed. So everyone is just always clean." Well, kids can definitely make us laugh with the things that they say, but they also have important things to teach us. This same child also wanted me to make sure that you knew that everyone makes mistakes in life, including presidents, even Abraham Lincoln. He was very specific, even Abraham Lincoln. He was right, but sometimes he was wrong. No one in the world is always right. Even the know-it-alls, they are sometimes wrong. Only God is right all the time. And he wants us to know that so that no one would get mad when someone else is right. Kids have important things to teach us. Well, before all of this started, I had my sermon all planned out. I was going to sit down with our kids in their Sunday school classes and ask them what they wish that grown-ups knew. And I was going to use that to talk about what our kids can teach us. But instead, everything changed. And yet, I still found myself learning more from our kids during this time of pandemic than I ever expected. So when things started shutting down in March, I, like many of you, was having a hard time. I was anxious and I was stressed. What would happen? When would things go back to normal? How would we do this? What if I got sick? What if Jonathan got sick? When would we be able to do things again? Things were tough. And then we started Zoom Sunday school. And that first Sunday that we gathered together, the kids were smiling. They were laughing. We found ways to have fun. And I realized that the kids had a lot more to teach me about living through a pandemic than perhaps I could teach them. Well, then I discovered this book. Now, I'm not sure if you can see all of those post-it notes that I have in this book, but I promise that I'm not going through all of those today. So in this book, Becoming Better Grown-Ups, Rediscovering What Matters and Remembering How to Fly, Brad Montague talks about his year-long journey talking to kids and finding out what they want grown-ups to know, which, funnily enough, is exactly what I wanted to do before everything changed. In writing this book, he discovers that being a better grown-up has a whole lot to do with being more like a child. We become fully alive when we listen to the child within us and the children around us. Our work, our ideas, our to-do list, everything in our wake, it all changes when we view it as a child does. We become softer, kinder, and yes, sillier. He is convinced that a life lived like this can create a more helpful and hopeful world for kids and former kids everywhere. So as former kids, what do the current ones want us to know? What do they have to teach us? Kids can teach us to find delight daily. This is the lesson the kids started teaching me on that first Zoom Sunday school. Now, if you have ever seen a toddler with a box, you have seen that joy and delight. Now, you have probably also experienced frustration that they loved the box more than they loved whatever toy came in the box, but that's a different story. We should find delight daily. Children find new ways to play and create. A box becomes a castle or a rocket ship. The backyard isn't the backyard anymore, it's a jungle. The floor is lava and you can't walk on it. Children find ways to have joy. And on that very first Zoom call, there were a lot of unknowns for all of us. School had shut down and we didn't know when it would reopen. We couldn't meet for church in person. Baseball and soccer and everything else was canceled. And yet, our kids were smiling. They were laughing. We talked about good things that were happening. And they reminded me of the importance of finding joy daily. In a time when it was easy to feel as if only bad things were happening, the kids were the ones finding the joy. One of the best lessons that kids can teach us is to find joy daily. Look for the good things that are happening. Find reasons to smile. Find reasons to laugh. Find reasons to play. In the Declaration of Kid Dependence that one precocious child wrote, it says, "I declare the freedom of kids because adults mistreat us because of our age. We, the kids, should be treated with respect as adults have for each other. We, the kids, should have fun because all work, well, school, and no play is no way to live. We, the kids, 0 to 18 years old, should be loved and be treated nicely, for we have only a limited amount of time before adulthood. We, the kids, want rights. We want freedom. All work and no play is no way to live." We know this, and yet sometimes we find ourselves doing exactly that. And when we do, we stop having fun. We may even stop finding the joy of life. We forget that God created play just as much as God created work. God created laughter. God created joy. And God takes delight in us and wants us to delight in Him. The children in our lives remind us to have joy. Another lesson that children can teach us is to be present. Now, some of us, myself included, live by our to-do list. We love checking things off that list, and we try to see how many things we can fit into one day. Be honest, I'm sure I'm not the only one who makes sure that all of those lines on my to-do list are filled. And while that may work well for a while, we tend to miss out on a lot of things when we do that. This time, although it's been difficult, has been a reset for us. It has been a time when we have had to stop spinning all of those plates in the air and learn how to live without some of our busyness. Over the last few months, I have asked the kids to tell me something good that has happened during their week. I wanted to remind them that good things are still happening because we all need those reminders. And almost everything they said was something they did with their family. We took a family bike ride. My family went for a hike. We had movie night as a family. Over and over again, the good things that happened were things they did with their families. Their parents were present for them, and they loved it. Now, we know that there are two ways that we can be present. Our bodies can be somewhere even when our brains and our eyes or somewhere else. And being there in body is helpful, but our kids want more. Kids want us to be fully present for them, to pay attention to them, to really see them, to respect who they are, and to be who we are. Isn't that what we all want? To be seen, to be respected for who we are, for someone to be authentic with us? We can be better grown-ups when we are fully present. And if we really pay attention to kids, they can teach us how to do just that. People come alive when we are fully present with them. Now, we have all been guilty of asking how someone is and hoping they will say fine and keep on walking. In fact, it sometimes seems like one of our favorite things to do in the South when we're out and about and we see somebody is to say, how are you, while still walking. Now, talk about a signal to say I'm good or I'm fine and to just keep on moving. But when we stop, when we make eye contact with someone, when we ask how they are and we stay for the answer, we help that person come alive. We form a connection with them and we help them feel seen. And yes, we may end up with more information than we planned on getting, but we also help that person. And in turn, we help ourselves. Jesus always took the time to talk to others. Even when things were hectic, Jesus still took that time. In Mark chapter 10, people were bringing their children to Jesus to have Jesus bless them. And the disciples, who thought that Jesus was too busy and too important to deal with these children, called them out on it. But when Jesus saw this, he got angry and he said, "Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me." These children are at the very center of the life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. Jesus took the time for children who in that time were seen as much less important than grown-ups. And he reminded the disciples of the importance of children. When we are present for children and for adults, they come alive, and so do we. We need each other. We can learn from each other. And we can help each other lead fuller, richer lives. Well, kids also teach us to be optimistic again. As Brad Montague says, a powerful, optimistic spirit is inherent to children and synonymous with childhood. In spite of any darkness that might cross their paths, kids are determined that things can be made bright. This is a joy-filled vision for how things should be. It's a rebellion against what currently is to create what could be. To be childlike, that's what we're after, because that is to carry with us the best of our youthful spirit. It is to be a rebel fueled by joy. Don't you want to be a rebel fueled by joy? As I said earlier, the laughter and smiles on that very first Zoom call reminded me that all was not lost because we couldn't be in the same room together at the time. Kids find ways to have joy. They are optimistic that things can and will change. They carry with them joy-filled visions of how things should be. And they look for ways to change the world. In fact, in elementary schools these days, teachers are helping children brainstorm projects that may actually change the world someday. Children believe that they can change the world. And somewhere along the way, we as adults, as former kids, we tend to lose that feeling. We start to become so overwhelmed by all the things that need to be changed that we start to feel powerless. But children remind us that we can still be rebels fueled by joy. In 1 Kings, our scripture for today, God's people were in a tough spot. Over and over again, their kings had led them astray. The kings turned to other gods, and the people did too. It was a violent place where kings were killed and the people were lost. Wars were happening, and God's people had forgotten who they were. And then along comes Josiah. 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 through 2 says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Josiah did not follow the ways of his father or his grandfather, both of whom did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Instead, Josiah worshiped God. I like to think of Josiah as a rebel fueled by joy, fueled with God's joy. Josiah followed God, and he was determined to turn the people back to God. He saw the way things were, but he also had hope in the way that things could be. He had hope that the people could turn back to God. And then the book of the law was discovered in the temple. While the people were repairing the temple, someone discovered God's word. And according to 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 11 through 13, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. And he gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Achbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Azaiah the king's attendant. Go and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. Josiah knew that the people had done wrong. And yet, instead of ignoring the book of the law and just letting things stay the same, Josiah told the priests and others to ask the Lord about what was written in that book. He wanted to know how the people could fix things. Well, what the prophetess Huldah told him was disheartening. God was going to bring disaster on the people because of how they had disobeyed. But even though Josiah knew this, even though he knew that disaster was coming, he still worked to turn the people back to God. In 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, we read, Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and with all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Josiah turned the people back to God. Talk about a rebel. For almost 60 years, since Hezekiah had died, the rulers of Judah and the people themselves had done evil in the eyes of the Lord. But Josiah had a vision of how things could be. He saw how the people could turn back to God. And so he worked, tearing down altars to other gods and getting rid of their high places. And then he told the people to celebrate. 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 21 through 25. The king gave this order to all the people. Celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. Neither in the days of the judges who led Israel, nor in the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah had any such Passover been observed. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was celebrated to the Lord in Jerusalem. Furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums and spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and all the other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. This he did to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his strength, in accordance with the law of Moses. Josiah turned to the Lord with everything he had. He was the embodiment of the verse from 1 Timothy that we read earlier. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Josiah set an example for the people to follow. And one of the other lessons we can learn from children is about the importance of being an example. Children look to us. They follow us. They do what we do and they say what we say. They are looking to us to be their example. And we should strive to be the example we needed when we were younger. Josiah was that example. He was the example to the people that his father and grandfather were not. He was who he needed when he was younger and just beginning to follow the Lord. Think about your younger self. What did you need? Did you need someone to encourage you? To help you pursue your dreams? Did you need a mentor who could show you what the right thing to do was? Did you need someone to stand up for you? Our children need the same things. Be who your younger self needed, and you can help change the world. Josiah did. Finally, children want us to remember that we were children once too. So raise your hand if you have ever seen Mr. Rogers. Fred Rogers was a wonderful man who was a great teacher and advocate for children. And apparently, he also wrote a chapter in a book for ophthalmologists. Now, you may be thinking, did Mr. Rogers go to medical school and I just didn't know that? What could he possibly know about ophthalmology, except for maybe how to spell it? Well, his chapter begins with this line, "You were a child once too." And as Brad Montague says in Becoming Better Grownups, could those doctors working on young children serve them better by remembering that they too were once children? By recalling the feelings and emotions of being small and unprotected, would they perform their medical work in a kinder, gentler way? Could this be the key to not being just a better ophthalmologist, but also being a better grown-up? Absolutely. Reflecting on the children we once were would give us great clarity in how we serve the children who now surround us, and the grown-ups too. We, after all, were young once too. Children can teach us to be kinder, both to those around us and also to ourselves. After all, if we remember that we are all former kids, might we also remember the good things about the former kid we see in front of us? Might we remember that they have been scared and worried too? That they have been vulnerable and perhaps still are? We are all united by the fact that we have all been children. And that is greater than anything that divides us. Well, here's the thing about remembering that you were a child once too. At first glance, we remember the good things. We remember things like not having to pay bills, only getting fun mail, getting to play with our friends whenever we wanted, and how our problems seemed so much smaller back then. But then, when we start to look closer, we start to realize something. Being a kid is hard. It's easy to feel misunderstood as a kid. It's easy to feel stretched thin. And those problems that seem smaller to us now, they felt gigantic as a kid. When a friend gets angry with you and refuses to sit with you at lunch, when you fail a math test and are afraid to tell your parents, when a bully targets you, these problems feel like the end of the world. It feels like things are never going to get better. And as a kid, it can be easy to feel powerless and like our world is spinning out of control. And don't forget, homework is hard. Our kids' homework may look easy now, or you may have been pulling your hair out this spring when you were trying to teach the math that they teach these days. But as a kid, that homework could be really hard. We can forget how difficult it is to be a kid. And we can dismiss those problems as less than our own. But if we remember what it was like to be a kid, then we can help the kids around us recognize that their problems aren't going to last forever. And yes, there will be new ones, but those won't last forever either. And through it all, God is going to help us get through. Well, there's something good about remembering your childhood, too. You start to remember the things you were passionate about. What's something that you loved to do as a kid? I loved to sing when I was a kid. In fact, I was the kid in choir who sang with the loudest voice that I could find. I'm sure I would have frustrated Mary Ann Tyler sometimes with how passionate I was about singing. I loved singing so much that I used to make up my own songs. I would make up a tune, and I would make up the words to a song and write them down, and I would sing them as I walked around the house. And most of those songs were praises to God. I was always singing something. But somewhere along the way, I lost that passion for writing and singing. I wonder how my life would change if I rediscovered that passion. Well, perhaps you were passionate about baseball, and somewhere along the way, life got in the way. Could you rediscover that passion by volunteering to coach Little League? Or maybe you loved to draw as a kid. Could that passion now be a way for you to spend time with God? Or to step away from the stresses of life for a little bit? Kids are passionate about things. They are either all in or they are all out, and there's rarely anything in between. And if you have ever signed your kid up for something that you wanted them to do and they didn't want to do it, you know that that's true. Well, what if the kids in our lives help us rediscover our passions? What if they were to help us find something we really love to do? How might that change our lives? What do children have to teach us? A whole lot, if we will just listen. There are times when children can remind us of the wonder and beauty of this world. Children can help us find joy in everyday things and find delight daily. They can remind us to show up and be present for the people in our lives. Children can help us rediscover our optimism and create our own joy-filled vision of what the world might be. They can teach us to be rebels fueled by joy. Their love and trust in God can rekindle our own. They can help us walk through hard things and still see the good. They remind us that they and we need community and places that are safe for us to be ourselves. They can help us see the good in the former kids in front of us. And they can help us rediscover our childhood selves. Children have a lot to teach us. And if we, as former kids, become more like them, then as Jesus said, ours is the kingdom of heaven. And so kids and former kids, listen to one another. Be open to what each other has to teach, and the world will be a better place. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the gift of children. Thank you for reminders in them of how very much you love us. Help us to rediscover the child in each of us. Show us how to take delight in you every day, no matter what is happening. Help us to rediscover the things that we love. Help us to be rebels fueled by joy. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.